Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor David Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, today we continue in our series, The Essentials. And The Essentials is our study of the book of James. We've been walking through it verse by verse. And the reason we've been doing this, the reason James is such an important book for us to study, understand, and live out, is that James speaks to the core of what it means to be a Christian. What are the core convictions of a follower of Jesus? How does that look in their life? That's what James talks about. And today he continues talking about that with something incredibly important, but something too many Christians do not understand. And because they don't understand it, they're not ready to do it. And that is, we are going to talk from the subject, ready to resist the devil. Ready to resist the devil. You can go to James chapter 4. We'll be in the middle of the chapter. James chapter 4. In 1994, in the spring, a flight took off from Memphis from a FedEx shipment, it was a cargo plane loaded, packed with boxes and goods that were going to be shipped across the country, and there were four crew on the plane. Pilot, co-pilot, one other crew member, and then an employee that was riding in the jump seat. Everybody looked like they were supposed to be on the plane. But as the plane took off and began to gain altitude, the passenger in the jump seat removed his harness, went into the cockpit, and tried to kill the pilot and the co-pilot. And a vicious fight ensued, and the fight lasted. This struggle lasted for over 30 minutes. For over 30 minutes, the pilot and the co-pilot fought for their lives and simultaneously tried to keep the aircraft airborne. And about 30 minutes into the struggle, the co-pilot had an ingenious idea. He rolled a 500,000-pound cargo plane 140 degrees, nearly upside down. When he did that, it threw the attacker across the plane, and their lives were saved, and the plane landed safely. Now, here's what I love about that story. What I love is they did not give up. They didn't give in. They didn't surrender. They didn't quit. What did they do? They resisted the attack. This is what James is going to talk to us about this morning, James chapter 4 in verse 7, because here's what all of us have to understand about the life of faith and the world that we live in. That the devil's attacks do not end because he quits. They end because somebody resists. The devil's attack in your life never ends because he gets tired, he gets worn out, he loses interest. It only ends when you resist. This is what James is going to hammer on today. James chapter 4, verse 7, look at this. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, the Bible is clear that Satan is real. And yet, Satan is a created being. He was created good. He was created an angel. He was created a powerful supernatural being, but he rebelled against God. And the Bible says he took a third of the heavenly hosts with him. And Satan is still active and operational in the world today. The demonic is real. Darkness is not an impersonal force. Darkness is led and empowered by a supernatural demonic being. Satan, though, is not eternal. He was created. Satan is not all-powerful. Satan is not omnipresent. Satan is not one of God's sons. Satan is not the brother of Jesus. He is an angelic being who rebelled against the living God. This is the devil that James is saying we are to resist. And yet, here's the scary part. You can know the devil is real. You can know the demonic is dangerous. You can want to stay away from it. You can be concerned about its impact on the world around you, and yet still not know how to personally resist the devil in your life. Too many Christians live life ignorant of the power that God would give them and strengthen them with to resist the devil. But my prayer is that at James River Church, that ends in the life of every person today. I believe God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to position you so you are ready to resist the devil. If you believe it, give God some praise. He wants to make us ready to resist the devil. Okay. So when you look at James chapter 4, verse 7, very clearly in this verse, there are three truths about what that resistance looks like in the life of a follower of Jesus. And the first truth is this, that resistance begins with submission. Seems like an opposite. Resistance begins with submission. Look at James. James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resisting starts with submitting. Now, we're going to rewind a little bit and go back to verse 6 because I want you to see how these two go together. Verse 6 says, as the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. Here's why I'm taking you back to verse 6, because what James says here in verse 6 and 7 is echoed in another part of the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, where it says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. I want you to catch something here, both in 1 Peter and in James chapter 4, verse 7. Resisting the devil doesn't start with being obsessed with what the devil is doing. It starts with focusing on what God is doing. Your resistance of the devil is not a matter of first and foremost how you respond to the devil. It's how do you respond to God? How are you responding to God? Because if that's not right, then you'll never be able to resist the devil. It starts with submission. Resistance starts with submission. Now, when we think about that idea of submission, it's helpful. I'm going to give you one Greek word in this message. Hupostasomai. Hupostasomai. This is the word that is translated submission or submit. The reason that's important is because this was a military term in the first century. In Greek culture, this hupostasomai term meant it had military implications. It meant to fall in line under a military leader, primarily. Why does that matter? Because what James is saying is you start resisting by positioning yourself in the Lord's army. Does anybody remember? Somebody, yes, that's a Sunday school kid over there. Does anybody remember there was a song you might have learned when you were a kid? It went, I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. We're going to do this. Yes, sir. I may never fly or the infantry ride or the cavalry. Shoot the, I know all the motions. I may never march in the infantry, but I'm in the Lord's army. What? Yes, sir. Some of y'all like, y'all are weird. We just got memories. That's how it is. We're in the Lord's army. That's what James is saying. You know what? If you want to resist the devil, you have to recognize you have a commanding officer. You are not the master of your fate. You are not the captain of your soul. You have a master and you have a captain, and his name is Jesus. You serve under King Jesus. You're not your own boss. Jesus is the boss. That's what it means to say Jesus is Lord. So what we have to do is if we're going to resist the devil, then we have to say, how much does my life reflect that reality? You cannot resist the devil if you are not constantly arranging and rearranging your priorities, rearranging what's important to you, allowing God to put his finger on things in your heart, allowing him to speak to you. And when he speaks, you move. When he speaks, you respond. That's what submission looks like. Otherwise, the God you're serving is really just you. If you only submit to what you agree with or what you feel like, and then you're the decider, God's not God in your life. You think you're God. James says you'll never resist the devil if you have a God complex. You'll never resist the devil if you're calling the shots in your life. Resistance starts with submission. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. What are you asking me to do, Lord? I'm going to do it. So when God speaks to your heart, when you know he's pulling you, you know the right thing, you know the godly thing, you know the best thing for your family is to consistently be in God's house. It's, yes, Lord, we're here. We're not here once a month. We're not here twice a month. We're not here when it works. We're here because the Bible says we're to be planted in the house of the Lord. That's where we're going to be planted. God says, hey, I want you to serve. I want you to invest your life. I want you to make a difference in the lives of others. Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So I'm going to serve. Well, then, do you jump on a dream team? Do you go through the grow track? Do you say, yes, Lord, I'm in. I want to do what Jesus does. I want to do what Jesus did. This is submission. This is the life of faith. This is what prepares you to be resistant to the devil's schemes, resistant to the devil's work. And here's what you have to understand. The more submitted you are to God's authority, the more resistant your life is to the devil's attack. The more submitted you are to God's authority, the more resistant, the more protected your life is to the agenda of the demonic and the attack of the enemy. Okay, so go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice what he says. He says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. So this is, you're here. God puts his hand over you. You humble yourself under his hand. Then what does it say? That he may lift you up in due time. So you're under his hand. He lifts you up. So now where are you? You're in the most protected position in the entire universe. You are literally held by the hands of Almighty God. Now we like to talk about, well, I'm in God's hands. But the way that you are in God's hands is through humbling yourself and submitting yourself to his authority. Too many Christians are saying, I'm in God's hands, but they're not submitted to God's rule and reign in their life. Peter says, that's not how that works. You want to be protected from the enemy? You want to live a life that's resistant to the enemy? You better find yourself right in the palm of God's hand. And that happens through humbling yourself under him and submitting yourself to him. Resistance starts with submission. But resistance also requires resolve. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. I want you to notice the imagery here. Because in verse 6, he says God opposes the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. When you submit yourself to God, it sets you up to do what God does. What do I mean by that? Who is the most proud, arrogant being in the entire universe? Not a trick question. The devil. So when you submit yourself then to God, you're able to stiff arm the devil. Because now he says, I resist the proud. He said, if you submit yourself to me, you can resist the devil. You resist the ultimate source of pride and arrogance. It positions you to do what God does. Okay, I'm gonna ask Owen to come up. Owen's our oldest son. Come on, give Owen a hand. So, submission positions you to resist. So Owen is 16. He is about to be 7 feet tall, probably. Somebody said, I think he's taller than you. And I was like, well, I have taller hair than he does. So, but submission positions you to resist the devil. So this word in Greek, resist, it means to put your weight into it. Like, have you ever had to put your back into something? And then you were like the next day, like, oh, yuck. Like, you put your weight into it. Like the full force of who you are. So I want to put your hands up. So don't put your weight into it. Okay, so obviously that took almost nothing for me to push him back. Because he's not doing what? He's not resisting. But if I say, okay, put all of your weight, this is gonna be, if we have to call an ambulance, do we have a medical team on standby? Okay, put all your weight into it. Okay, so he does taekwondo and lots of things, so don't judge me. So all of that to say, so Owen's a teenager. I don't think you should let that imagery be lost on you because this is not an age-specific command. Every believer is capable of doing what the Holy Spirit empowers them to do. So it doesn't matter if you've been walking with Jesus for 10 minutes or 70 years. You can resist the devil. You can put your weight into it. You can resist him. Many Christians, though, are losing battles against the enemy because they are standing casually when they should be braced intentionally. You will always lose. Can I promise you something? It's not a happy promise. You will always lose battles against the enemy if you are standing casually instead of resisting intentionally. Why? Because you're not obeying God's word. He's called you to resist. And here's why I brought Owen up here. Because I wanted to honor him for a moment. At 16 years old, I am watching you do this. We had a conversation last night. And you were telling me how you're working to resist the enemy in your life. And I'm so proud of you. Keep doing it. God has great things for you. I love you, buddy. I love you. Give him a hand. So good. Okay. Now, here's the good news. Resistance is a muscle. Resistance is a muscle. So you can build this muscle in your life. This is really good. It's good news because some of you on the resistance front, this has been a struggle. And let me explain this to you. In the same way physical muscles are built through resistance, this muscle of resistance is built through resistance. Resistance breeds resistance. So I'm not gonna ask for a show of hands. Some of you work out. And what you know, anybody who's ever worked out or tried, January wasn't that long ago. So what do you know? When you haven't been working out and you go to the gym and you really go for it, the next day, how do you feel? Terrible. Feel terrible. You're sore. You're like, I'm never gonna do that again. Like, I hurt everywhere. Like, but then if you stay at it, if you keep going back, if you keep lifting weights, what happens? All of a sudden, you begin to appreciate the resistance. All of a sudden, you don't mind the resistance because you know it's making you stronger. The Christian life, this side of heaven, will never be absent of resistance. Here's the thing, but if you respond to resistance by embracing the power given to you by God, you will look at the resistance differently. It will change the way you see it, process it, and it will actually make you stronger. Because resistance is a muscle. You keep going back to the gym, you keep saying, yes, I'm leaning into that, oh, it's gonna make you stronger. But if you don't resist, okay, if you go to the gym a bunch and then you decide, I'm gonna take a 3-month break. In 2026, one of my resolutions is I've been at the gym too much. a little less resistance wouldn't hurt anybody. Yes, it would. And then at the beginning of 2027, you go, I'm getting back at it. Is it gonna feel like it did in 2025? No. It's gonna hurt all over again. Because resistance breeds resistance. And some of you are finding the enemy making inroads in your life because you're cherry picking what you resist and what you don't resist. And you'll never build a devil-resistant life if you decide, well, I'm a part-time follower of God's word. I only resist the things I want to resist. If that's the way you live life, you won't be able to resist anything. Temptation comes, mows you over. The devil comes, he has his way. Because if you don't resist, he doesn't flee, he parks. So look at this quote, New Testament scholar Daniel Durrani. He says, if you succumb, Satan does not flee. He sits on the couch with you. In your house. And since sin has pathways, failure to resist on one occasion makes it harder for you to resist the next temptation and harder to submit to God. So how do you build the muscle? So this doesn't happen. How do you build the muscle? You build it first reliantly. You build it reliantly. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In other words, where does your strength come from? Does it come from you? Oh, no. Whoa. Where does your strength, come from you? No. This is not an issue of self-reliance. This is an issue of total dependence. God, I need you. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't do anything. It just means that you don't source your own strength. You recognize, if I'm gonna be strong, I gotta have his power at work in my life. This is why being in the prayer meeting matters so much, because when you get in the presence of God in the middle of the week, when you do something so countercultural as to say, you know, what are you doing tonight? I'm going to a prayer meeting. Guess what you're doing? You're putting a stake in the ground and saying, I can't do this in my own strength. I need time where I'm lifting my hands to the Lord. I need time on my face before God. I need an infusion of his strength and of his presence, because if I'm going to resist the devil, he's got to be right in the center of my life. That's why the prayer meeting is the most important meeting of the week. Sundays are awesome. But we've got to have a moment in the middle of the week to say, I can't do this on my own. God, this is my wholehearted, full-throated declaration that I need your power and I need your strength and I need your presence and I won't make it without it. We resist reliantly. That's how you build that muscle. We resist confidently. Okay, John chapter 8, verse 44, you belong to your father, the devil. Jesus is talking to some people. This is hard hitting. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Okay. You need to understand not only that the devil is a liar, but that when you believe a lie in any area of your life, you empower that lie and you weaken your resistance. You believe a lie about your future. You believe a lie about God. He's not trustworthy. You believe your doubts instead of God's word, whatever it is. And Satan loves that, by the way, because he loves to counterfeit whatever God is doing. He's not a creator, he's a counterfeiter. So he'll make it look like the real thing. He'll make it sound good when he's really selling you a bill of goods. Satan is a liar. How do you disempower a lie? With the truth. Okay. How do you disempower the lies of the enemy? You get in God's word. Some of you, the best thing you could do out of this message is get on the Bible app and get into a Bible reading plan, because you believe some lies and they are messing with your head and they're derailing your decisions. And guess what? They're destroying your future. You want to take your future back? Start building the muscle by getting in God's word and watch the resistance grow. You disempower a lie by feeding yourself the truth. You have to confidently go, you're a liar and I'm not believing that. Okay, not only that, but you do it radically. You build the muscle radically. If your hand causes you to sin, this is Jesus, cut it off, for it is better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. The Bible teaches radical resistance to sin, Satan, and the demonic. Radical resistance. So Jesus is not endorsing self-mutilation. What he is doing is giving us a picture of what it looks like to actually resist the enemy. He wants to get as in your face as he can possibly get, because here's the thing. If you don't think the devil is after everything good in your life and everything God wants to do in your life, then you got the wrong guy. You don't understand your enemy if you don't understand the lengths to which he would go to destroy your family, your children, to destroy everything about what God has created you to accomplish. He wants none of it to exist, and there is no lengths to which he wouldn't go to see it done. John Owen, the great British theologian from 400 years ago, said this: be killing sin or sin will be killing you. This is radical resistance. I don't play games with it. I don't make excuses for it. I don't give it safe harbor or quarter in any of my life, any part of my life. I resist the devil. Some of you need to stop asking, how close can I get and still be okay? That's not the question. That's a question that's going to get you in a whole lot of trouble and create a whole lot of heartache. The question is, you need to start asking, what do I need to cut off so I can be free? What needs to go so I can resist the devil? What account needs to be deleted so I can destroy temptation's hold? What do I need to do? What do I need to say goodbye to so that I can say hello to the future God has for me? You resist by getting ruthless. Some of you have not been ruthless with sin. Nobody knows it, but your heart is filled with darkness, and God in his mercy and God in his grace is coming to you on a Sunday morning at the beginning of April and saying, this is a wake-up call. I've got good things for you, but you will forfeit all of them if you keep giving the devil free range in your life. Okay, finally, and here's the good news. Resistance guarantees the devil's retreat. Come on, can we give God some praise for that? Resistance guarantees the devil's retreat. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, at the end of my sermon preparation, one of the things I do is I put my entire sermon manuscript, because I'm notorious for like leaving out words and, you know, phrases where I get my words mixed up. And when I read it back to myself, I'll insert those words, but they're not there. So I like to put my manuscript into ChatGPT and say, hey, fix any missing words, highlight any grammatical problems. So it spits out the manuscript again with those suggested changes. And one of the changes it suggested is, this is the wrong word. It says, the word guarantees is not accurate. It's too strong. So an AI chatbot thinks that if I tell you, you resist the devil and you're guaranteed that he will flee, that's not accurate to God's word. I got news for you, robot. That is the way it works. That is the way it works. How do you know that? Because he didn't say, resist the devil and he might flee. He didn't say, resist the devil and sometimes he will flee from you. He didn't say, James writing this, if your pastor resists the devil, he'll flee. He didn't say, If you've been a Christian for 40 years and you resist the devil, he will flee. He didn't say if you're a super spiritual Christian, varsity level in Bible memorization, you resist the devil and he will flee. No. This is very personal. This is very personal. Resist the devil and he will flee from who? You. At every campus, you resist the devil, he will flee from who? You. The promise of God's word is a guarantee. You can know the devil does not have to rule your future, your family, your marriage, your thoughts. You don't have to give him unfettered access to your life. You are not prey to him. You are victorious in Christ Jesus. The word says you're more than a conqueror because of him who loved you. Jesus died in your place for your sin and rose in victory over Satan, sin, and death. So you don't have to live subject to the devil's schemes. The question isn't, is the devil real? The question isn't, does the devil hate you? The question isn't, is he prowling around looking for a way into your life? All of that is absolutely happening. The question is, are you ready? The question is, are you resisting? The question is, are you living a fortified life? So that when he shows up, you're not surprised. And when he shows up, he has to flee.